Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Star Wars Hangout.
The best Star Wars Hangout in the galaxy. Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And friends, we're back with Ahsoka Episode 4, Fallen Jedi. Which Jedi? Who are we talking about?
A lot of them have fallen.
Some were resurrected. This is crazy. Full spoilers. You guys know how we do. This is a reaction, a raw reaction to the episode. We just were on the couch. We just finished watching it. We came to the microphones, and we're going to tell you what we thought.
Well, maybe you have to wait until the very end to see the Fallen Jedi.
Maybe you do. There you go. So you guys have seen the episode. You know what happens. We actually have some answers to a few things. Answers. I love when answers create more questions.
Yeah.
You know? Because this episode definitely does that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, in so many ways. Captain Carson Teva's back, which is cool. That was a surprise appearance in this. Go him.
That was fun.
Although, did he make it there at the end? I don't even know. Sorry, I'm just jumping right to the end on this one. Crazy stuff happening. So, let me think here for a second. The music's great. The visuals are great. The story's awesome, right? Score's great. Did I say that already? I don't even know. It's just great. Like, there's 4 to 5, 6 or 7 or 8, 9 greats.
Yeah.
In terms of the show. It's good.
We even saw droids fighting.
We did. Hui Yang was taking on like an assassin, HK assassin droid, and holding his own, actually. Yeah. So that was pretty great. So let's just get down to the nitty gritty. All right. We're giving you guys our quick raw reaction here. Let's just jump right to the big stuff. And you guys send us your transmissions, StarWarsHangout77@gmail.com. Let me know what you think. We get into last episode. Balin is like, hey, hunt the Jedi, go get them. We got to get the coordinates. The map. I love the mechanism here, which is like the map is sitting there and they're just trying to read from the hyperspace ring.
Right. They don't even need. I thought they were going to go from that place where they read the map, but they're not. They just needed to see to calculate. That's just the spiritual place where you need to make the calculations.
Oh my gosh. You may have just given everyone the key to where how we follow after.
Okay.
Right? Possibly, unless it's the World Between Worlds, which we're going to talk about in a second.
I think so, yeah.
But I mean, maybe there is something else that you can do there in that physical place. Because it's weird, right? They're analyzing the map. They're getting the coordinates for the jump. It has to be really precise.
Yeah.
It takes time, thank goodness. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had an episode. But it takes time, and they have to hold off Ahsoka. So Balin and Shin and Marok. They have to hold off.
The big secret's out.
Secret's out, guy. I mean,
we know who he is.
Who he not is. Like, that's crazy. For 4 or 5 weeks, probably longer, we've been thinking, okay, it's Sam Witwer who's playing Marok, or it's going to be Ezra Bridger, or it's Luke, right? The clone of Luke Skywalker. It's crazy. Yes, I see that.
Two questions. How often has that happened in the fandom that there was wild speculations and then there was nothing?
I think quite often.
Greater beyond it, behind it. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I think because the crazy thing is you have to have a story then for that element. You have to have, like, if it is Luke, then you have to, like, a clone of Luke Skywalker. Well, then you need a whole backstory for that. You have to explain, and it has to be a part now of canon. If it is Starkiller and that really is Darth Vader's apprentice, well, then we need to, that needs to work, right? It has to be something that they're going to actually put in canon. So when you drop a big, heavy hitting name like that, it's like, well, I mean, now we got to, like, make it all work back with everything else that we already have, and so it's more difficult to kind of do that. You have to have a good story around it.
So you think it's the last time we've seen that character, and there's really nothing to it?
Yeah, he's defeated. As far as I could tell, he was defeated by Ahsoka, and it made sense. I was thinking, too, like, somehow she has to get through. We saw her in the trailer facing down Balin, and I thought, okay, he's going to have to go or be revealed, but it looks like he's animated by, like, witchcraft.
Yeah.
Right? Just like he's a
like
spirit.
Like a dark spirit, yeah.
Or something. So mm-hmm. that's some Night Sister stuff, possibly. I don't know what that is. Because he did seem to be more connected to Morgan, but yet working with Balin and Shin. So, yeah. The cat or the mist is out of the bag, out of the armor. And there you go. We now know he's just big, bad, scary misty ghost. So that's Marok. All right, but then there's an epic battle going on. Huyang says basically stay together. You're better together. And they did not.
Now,
I mean, it seems like they did have to separate because she kind of gets there just in time to pull the map off or whatever. But maybe if she would have doubled up and went after Shin, you know, maybe if she helped her apprentice, her Padawan, defeat Shin, then they could have gone together more quickly, possibly.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, they did separate, and we see what happens. And they really, really separate.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Right? I mean, like...
Physically, mentally,
spiritually, wherever
Sabine,
Soak is at.
Can I count on you?
Yeah, and...
Yeah, of course.
No. You could tell the whole time. She was... Like, are you sure? Like, this seems... Ezra has been saying to her that he had to make this really tough choice, right? That's what a Jedi does.
Yeah.
And Sabine's not to that level yet. She's not to the point where she can make
a
tough
choice.
She says,
I'm not a Jedi. She's probably a little... Like, the Force doesn't want to be with me or you know, work with me.
Right.
So, I'm not a Jedi. I'm a Mandalorian, and this is what I want to do. And also, Balin said he's... And probably he's right... You feel like Ezra's the only family you've got left.
Yeah. Sad. Yeah. So that's a big answer right there, too. So two things that you said were important, which is, the Force is not with her. She's not really feeling like a Jedi. Her master is not technically a Jedi, essentially. It doesn't walk by the code.
True.
And she's often said that she's no Jedi. So therefore, how does she then do or follow in Ezra's footsteps to make that difficult choice that only a Jedi can make if your master's not a Jedi?
Right.
Her training's incomplete, essentially. Ahsoka's training is incomplete, and it looks like she's gone back to her master. We see at the end, Anakin Skywalker is in this bad boy. He says, hey, Snips. Like, and it's like his Force ghost is showing up there in the world between. So she has some training. She needs to come back. You know, it's not going to happen, but I'm sitting here like, from that realm, she could come back at any point in time. I don't know. Like, what's she going to do? Is she going to actually come back with the white cloak and the staff and be like, she's Gandalf the Grey right now, and then she comes back as Gandalf the White? Right? I mean, I'm just
like
thinking.
That.
I mean, because essentially, that's the problem, is that there's a lot of missteps in terms of her training and guidance with Sabine. And you can even tell Balin hit that right on the head when he said, hey, you also don't really trust, your master didn't trust you. The strife between you and Ahsoka is there because your family is dead. Her brother, her mother, her father, possibly, they all died in the Siege of Mandalore. So, I mean, that, and she was on Lothal. Or maybe out with Ahsoka, and then Ahsoka kept her from going and intervening, and she lost her family.
Yeah.
And that may have been what caused her to say, I'm going to walk away from this.
Yeah.
Which is nuts, actually, when you think about that. So, because
tough decision. How many times did you, because they really took their time with the decision that Sabine had to make.
Yeah.
How many times did you think back and forth, like, is she going to do it?
I was like, no way. No, she's
I
not
think
going to.
The whole I was like, she's going to do it, but then, really?
Is she really going to do it? Yeah, really? I kept waiting for Ahsoka to jump back up and do her thing.
Yeah.
She didn't. And that was a big problem. So, I mean, the big, big question, and we're giving you guys our quick reaction here. The big question is did Ahsoka die? Like, did she fall back into, or what happened?
Mm-hmm.
How did she fall into the water there or off that cliff? And is this a place that is a gateway or an entry point to the world between worlds?
Oh, could be, yeah.
It could be, because just like on Lothal, Ezra activates that and goes in. Did she do that as well, or was she pulled in to this world by Anakin?
Did Anakin get there then?
Well, I don't know. Is that him in the flesh?
Is that actually him, or is that some...
This place operates outside of space and time. That was Hayden Christensen. That is him. That is flat out the bad man himself.
So they kept it a secret that he was in there?
They did, yeah. It was kind of leaked, and people knew that he was going to be dressed up and in it. And you heard at the very end of the episode, the Darth Vader theme was playing. So, yeah, you got the light side Anakin with, like, the darkness underneath.
Oh.
And I think similar to how Ezra had to make a decision not to save Kanan because Kanan was doing, sacrificing himself in Rebels to save everyone else. I don't know. I feel like maybe she's pulled in here and is going to be given a chance to either save him or go back and change things for herself or her training of Sabine. Maybe she'll see a Sabine moment. We might actually get to see their history, right?
Yeah. Yeah. At some point, they have to give that to us, yeah.
Right. Where did it go wrong? Where did her training go wrong to the point where she can't count on Sabine?
Yeah.
And Sabine says, yeah, there's this is the only way. I mean, that's the, one of the great things about reading Legends books and any high fantasy book or whatever out there is that there's always, whenever the bad guy says, this is the only way, right? There's always another way.
Yeah.
You just have to be determined. You have to look for it. You have to find it. There is another way.
Yeah.
And taking the quick and the easy path is the path to the dark side.
Yeah.
So,
even though I'm very intrigued by the character Baylan and what
too.
He says, and he was actually making sure that Sabine is okay and Shin was going to probably end her.
Probably was. Absolutely.
And
yeah.
He said, no, I'm going to keep my promise. I'm not, you know, he's not a Sith.
He has a code. He has his own code, right? And he said, yeah, I'm going to keep my word. And he does. He can act. I love every time he closes his eyes and he goes inward.
Yeah.
And he seeks the Force. Mm. And I'm like, now, hold on a second. That bad man, good man, bad man, gray, I don't know what he is. He is treading between the light side and the dark side, and he is trying to find his way forward. The thing is that he says that you have to create, you have to destroy.
Yeah.
And the Jedi Order, that is interesting. The Jedi Order is destroyed.
Mm.
I will go back to what I've been saying. I don't know, you know, Ahsoka says, she says, Anakin never mentioned you. Well, guess what? Ahsoka also doesn't know him from fighting in the Clone Wars. So I don't think Baylan actually was in the Clone Wars fighting. I think, again, maybe he was on a mission or something and he was sent far away.
Mm-hmm.
He comes back and he sees the Jedi Order destroyed.
Yeah.
So therefore, he saw what Anakin became. And then whatever he does, whether he goes, you know, his lightsaber turned, maybe his lightsaber was a different color. Maybe it was yellow and it turned orange. And now all of a sudden he's sort of this guy who's leaning more to the dark side than he is to the light side.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be, he's a mercenary. He survives, but he's not necessarily a Jedi anymore. And he says that when we open the whole series, he's not a Jedi. So not someone that Yoda and Obi-Wan could have counted on to take on Darth Vader and Darth Sidious, right? So we needed Luke Skywalker for that, so that all still fits and makes sense. But who is he? What does he want?
What does he actually want?
Yeah.
He keeps talking around or in circles, you know.
Yeah,
he doesn't really mention what actually his goal is.
Yeah. He's not looking to become a Sith. He's not looking to be the next Dark Lord. He has an apprentice who has a Padawan braid, and he seems to be teaching her things, and he's proud of her, and she's proud to be his master. She's got a little bit of a crazy... She's doing a great job. Shin is absolutely wild, and I love Shin. But she looks crazy. She looks like she is just ready to tear somebody apart.
Yeah.
And she's a little unbalanced. As Ahsoka said, when you drift into some of aggression and that dark side nature.
She's young.
She's young. She needs to learn.
Yep, definitely different.
She's unbalanced. But we definitely saw him tap into that dark side energy a little bit in his fight with Ahsoka, and he was strong. He was very strong
When Ahsoka tried to get him, no way. Yeah, he was very, very...
formidable. Yeah. It's something that I said, I think it was episode one, I was talking about this. Baylan has had the advantage of maturing. Like he could almost be as old as Anakin, possibly. And had Anakin not have turned to the dark side and had stayed on the light side as a Jedi and grown old and gotten more experience and gotten more powerful, I feel like that's where we're at with Baylan. So he might not have been somebody who was like super high ranked up there back in the days of the Order. But he was obviously trusted enough to be sent on some mission, or I'm making that up. That's my own speculation. But he is leveled up in a way.
Yeah.
And you can tell because you're comparing him to Ahsoka. And Ahsoka's pretty, pretty awesome. She's pretty powerful. So, yeah. But I am just confused. I'm confused because I don't know. The only way to get into the world between worlds that we know of was through like the Mortis gods and a temple, like a sacred place, a place that was like a nexus in the Force or strongly connected to the Force.
Yeah.
So that place that we're at, it feels like that place was created by the Night Sisters, who are using the Force, but they're using magic.
Yeah.
Right? Just call it something different. So is that a weak point? Is that a point where she could actually go into the World Between Worlds, or was she pulled in there like Ezra pulled her in before?
Yeah.
That's my question, because then she turns around and there's Anakin, but he seemed surprised to see her there, so clearly he didn't pull her in.
True, okay, yeah.
Right, he's surprised. Who did, or is it by accident, and can she enter right back into the same point and pick up where she left
off?
Can
she, in the World Between Worlds, can she not only travel in time, but also space? You know, let's go far, far away to another galaxy.
My gosh, are you saying yes?
Would that be a way to get right? Where they are?
Possibly. Why not?
Right. That's what you were saying earlier, I think.
No, I mean, not really, but that's actually a great idea. I mean, if the map is destroyed, and there's no way to get there, and even if she comes back out to that exact same time, place, or whatever, they basically just have to, like, go back and convince the New Republic, hey, Thrawn's coming. We saw him. Shoot off. They're going to get him. Sabine's with him, and they're all going to come back, and it's going to be this huge fight. That could be how it goes down. Or, in an effort to prevent that, maybe she does try to use the powers and access a power in the World Between Worlds to literally go between worlds and to go between galaxies and actually, get there. Now, then the tricky part is like timing it all up, right? And can you control the time and place exactly?
Yeah. I mean, from there, they can go in so many directions. Like you said, go back in time for just Ahsoka, go on her own little quest.
Right.
Are we going to focus on?
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you think next episode we're not going to focus on where Morgan, Sabine, Baylan, and Shin went, but instead just on Ahsoka? Or
I think it's going to be a whole episode of the World Between Worlds. That's probably what's going to be called.
Yeah, a little filler episode before we see Thrawn or Ezra or anyone in the other galaxy.
Right. I think it's going to be Ahsoka going back and facing her old master, a what-if scenario where she battles him, seeing maybe even old Jedi Masters at the temple. She chose to walk away from Anakin. That's what this whole thing has been about. Yeah. She chose to walk away from him. What if she wouldn't have? What if she would have stayed? And I think she'll face that. I think she'll have to face those demons and kind of find some peace with it all. And I don't know, maybe Anakin can help in some way. I don't know if his spirit is able to kind of reach out, and we're going to have some actual Force Ghost moment.
Yeah.
If that really was him there, actually, as a Force Ghost, if that's possible. I don't know. There's so many daggone question marks. And that again is what is so cool about this. You know, it's so much fun to like speculate and make predictions and theorize about this series. Mandalorian is much more just a laid back, fun, laughable,
cute.
And there's intense moments, and it's just a really good kind of, I don't know, Sunday afternoon show, and you just enjoy watching it over and over again. It's great. Whereas with this show, I'm like on the edge of, I'm like, what is going to happen? Big time.
Because ties back to the old, the old days.
Yes, it does. And all the choices that they made. And then now making even the correct step here to prevent a war. But, I mean, I think all of us could kind of see that this is all culminating in Thrawn coming back.
Yeah,
so even though some missteps were made here, and she may try to do what you say, which is to actually use this world to get to that galaxy to help, she may end up deciding like that's not the right thing to do, and that she needs to trust in Ezra, she needs to trust in Sabine, and they need to prepare, right?
Yeah. And you know what? I'm trying to think back. How did Ezra enter the World Between Worlds?
Right. So when he was there, Sabine helped him in terms of like looking at the Mortis gods.
Right. That was, yeah.
Right. Yes. Yeah. He looks at the mural there and he sees the father and he sees the daughter and the brother. And when they moved the hands in such a way with the Force, like he was able to kind of open up this Loth Wolf portal that he jumped through. It was like swirling. The Loth Wolves were like running around on the side. And then boom, he jumps in and it's like, whoa, what is this? And that's where Lothal is like a big deal, and it's a freaking awesome temple.
So it's rather the combination of Ezra and Lothal than Ezra himself. Who could you think Ezra couldn't maybe?
Yeah, I don't enter. Know. I think anyone can enter if they know
how or where.
How and where? That's a great question. Yeah, can because Palpatine was definitely trying to gain access to that world in Rebels.
True.
And that's why they were studying Lothal, trying to understand the Mortis gods and understand what it all means and how do you get to this place of immense power where you can kind of change things and
yeah.
You know. So, yeah, a lot of destruction can be done in there, too. That's the thing. I think Ahsoka's got to remember what she said to Ezra in those moments, and she'll be tempted now to go back and really face her past.
Yeah.
But she's got to resist, I think, the temptation to go in and change things. Now, it's weird because we've only ever seen someone pull you out from a moment.
Right.
Someone pulled her in. So who was it? Or did she actually just fall in? I can't imagine that you would just fall off a cliff and you'd fall into the world between worlds. That seems crazy. Unless you died and she is like the guardian of the world between worlds and she's literally brought back again. Because she has, as our good friend Master Andrew has said, she has died like twice, essentially, and been saved. Once by Ezra, once by the daughter, the light side of the Force. She's got Morai, the bird who flies around and is sort of a symbol of the daughter and the light side of the Force. So yeah, I'm just sort of my head's reeling with either who pulled her in, can she just fall into it, or what? Well, because this whole thing is activated with the map and stuff. It makes you think that maybe that activation,
energy,
something in the cliffside. You know, there was a wall or something that she slipped into and fell. I just don't. I mean, it's. And it might not be ever explained how she got there, what the whole deal is, but it's almost like a reset moment.
We'll just have to fill the gaps until then.
Yeah. You guys need to send me some theories and thoughts, because actually Lottie just stunned me there with the idea that we could maybe use this place to go to that galaxy. And that never dawned on me. I don't know that you can, otherwise maybe Ahsoka would have thought about it. But it's also a place that's so dangerous. You can't really control it. You can't really go in there and say, hey, I want to go here. It seems to show you moment. And it seems to reflect like moments that are significant to the person who is there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so you're maybe, even
like
though
Ezra,
you're,
yeah.
Although you are hearing echoes of other people. So you could hear other Force users and stuff in that realm, and you could hear significant moments, but there are some of those moments that seemingly are like unchangeable like a cross point or whatever, where it's the Force is going to say like, this is fixed and you're unable to move this point. Or maybe that's the idea, is that like some of those things need to remain fixed. And in this realm, it's a vulnerable place where they could be corrupted or altered, and someone needs to guard it and protect it. And that might be Ahsoka. I'm just spitballing here like a crazy man after the episode. So wild. All right, let's back up just for a second. Cover a couple things.
Okay.
Sorry, went down a deep dive there. Just had to discuss all the big question marks.
Well, sorry, but I was
go ahead.
Also surprised that, maybe I got this wrong, but when we saw her last in Rebels in the animated show, I felt like she was kind of the guardian of that realm. And here, if she came back as someone, you know, who's just among the living, and she doesn't know how to get there. And it just was, for me, such a switch. I don't know what happened in between. Like,
do you know, I thought when this whole thing started off and people were kind of like, hey, what happened to her staff and her white cloak and all that kind of stuff, right? Because it was such a, we've had that image of Ahsoka in our minds for years.
Right.
And sure, some things don't work out for live action and, you know, you decide to change it. But in that realm, maybe what we saw in the epilogue of Rebels is actually an Ahsoka to come.
Oh.
You know, maybe she will go all the way back.
You mean the scene that we see between her and Sabine was actually not yet the one that we were to see, what we saw in Rebels.
Right.
But that's where they meet again.
Or she, I don't know. Or she goes back and, you know, because it's almost like I don't want to get all tripped out here in my mind about like time travel and stuff like that, like her possibly going back and being a different version of herself. Because the way it worked before is that when she entered that world between worlds, she then came right back out to the exact moment that, you know, she picked up her journey right where she enters the world between worlds, and then she goes back to the same place and time.
Mm-hmm.
In her story and continues on from there. So if she doesn't do that, then there's all sorts of crazy, I feel like, effects.
Yeah.
Possibly.
True.
I don't know. I need to go look up what Dave Filoni's been saying about this world. it reminds you a lot of Narnia in the Wood Between Worlds. Yeah, where they kind of can peek in the puddles and they can peek in the, and they can kind of drop into those worlds. So, and time works a little differently.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So many questions.
So many things. So, but yeah, some cool things. And the other part to this was Hera takes off with Jason. Love that.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she, that's
once that, a rebel, always a rebel.
Right. That's what she does. And Carson has been sniffing out this resurgence in the Imperial Remnant. So good on him. They've been building that since for all of Mandalorian. He's about the only person in the New Republic who has his wits about him, it feels like. So he's like, hey, no, I'm going to probably get in trouble for this as well, too. But there's a big threat coming. And if we can do something to stop it, like I'm a veteran, I want to go do that. And I'm here for you. Yeah. So he's locked in with Hera. I thought it was a little silly, though, that they got right in the path. Maybe they didn't know where the path was of the hyperspace ring. But unfortunately, we lost a few there, I feel like, unless they ejected. But yeah, that was cool. It was cool to see him. It was cool to see Jason. Jason does the classic, I've got a bad feeling about this. And he's force sensitive. That's why he's got a bad feeling about it.
Yeah.
Just so you know. He is going to be a Jedi one day. You know. And either Aunt Sabine's going to train him or Uncle Ezra, you know. So one of the two. Ezra's coming back, and I feel like in a big way. So
yes.
And actually, more on that later. I've got an Ezra theory about how this is all going to wrap up because I think they are big players in like the new Jedi Order and beyond, maybe even the sequels and stuff. But I'll save that for another time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lightsaber fights were cool. The forest is cool.
Oh, yeah.
The setting was great. The music was good, as I said. And I just felt like they did a really good job. I was really watching the choreography of the lightsaber fights. They were good.
Amazing. Right? I really liked this episode. And I'm not a huge person. Not a huge person. I'm not a person who's hugely into fights and fight scenes and action scenes.
You're an adorable person, that's for sure.
It's late, okay?
Yeah, it's late, it's late.
But I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, for sure. I just think I'm a little bit... I was kind of hoping that Marok was going to be someone a little bit more... I was hoping he was going to be someone. And that's the problem that we have sometimes, and often when I'm speculating and theorizing, I'm like, guys, don't go crazy. I mean, like, it's if it's not going to be... And that ends up, this is... I turned to you and you had the camera out and I was like, he's no one.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's literally like Rey Skywalker. You know, at one point in the sequel, she was like, I'm no one.
Wait, what? Marok is Rey Skywalker?
Yeah, straight up. And like, he literally, if he could speak, he would have, and they asked him who he was, he'd be like, no, I mean, and he just goes off. Because he's just whispery smoke. Maybe he was somebody. I don't
know. Voldemort,
yeah. So anyway, lightsaber fights are cool. Hu Yang's cool. He got the ship together. He fought that droid really well. What else? I'm trying to think of other things that can happen that were cool. It was not easy to destroy that key, by the way. And
no, I don't think that, like I said, I don't think Sabine could have shot it. And because it took a while until his lightsaber actually got through.
Right, yeah. I didn't think that was going to work. So,
no, Sabine, no pressure. You just,
Yeah, I'm also a little confused. It must have cooled off or something. Maybe it was super hot. But when Ahsoka picked it up, it like burns her hand. And it looks like some dark magic or something there, you know? Was it just hot or did it actually...
And what did Balin say? That was a mistake or that was...
Yeah, just because I think it made him mad. That's all. It just really made him mad. And so he's like, no, that was a mistake. You shouldn't have, like, leave the map alone. Like that. Almost like that's something I'll end you for. Like I would have just disarmed you, but...
Wait. Yeah. What you just said, do you think touching the map, that's why she went into the world between worlds?
Yeah, but then again, so did Sabine. So she's holding it and touching it.
But the map was, in that was like hovering and she was, while it was spinning and
projecting all that stuff. It's just that she doesn't go into the world between worlds right away. So it's like there's this delayed effect where she's still fighting and that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Yeah. And it happens to be that she falls off of a cliff. And possibly would have died. Mm. To me, it looks like she's... I expected to see her hanging on a cliff or like having heard some of that stuff that goes down with Sabine. She doesn't. So that's going to be up for Sabine to like tell her later, like, hey, I failed you. I'm sorry. And she's going to have to overcome that failure, right? They're going to have to both say, I'm sorry. And they're going to have to heal and come back together. As Hu Yang said, they need to stay together.
Yeah.
But when she falls off that cliff, it feels like another moment where Ahsoka's path was going to end. And she is being...
Maybe she can't die.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like there is something else that is guiding people. Because even Ezra, when he's in the world between worlds, he is guided to the circle or the window where Ahsoka is fighting Darth right. Vader by Morai. And
yeah, there's a specific thing that he has to do why he entered the
yeah.
world between worlds.
Right, right. He gains access to that, and then he's guided there, right, by the daughter, essentially, to save Ahsoka. Who else? I mean, again, the daughter seems to be kind of watching out for Ahsoka, and when she falls or is unable to kind of continue, the daughter is there to keep lifting her up. So it does almost yeah. seem like she's immortal. Like she's kind of, whenever she stumbles and falls, like they're going to say, nope, here, pull her back up. She has a greater purpose. There is something else that only she right. can do. Right? Yeah. That only she can do. And what is that? I don't know what that is. Seems. Yeah. Oh,
it does.
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll have to wait.
Yeah, we're going to wait till next week. Again, this is always our quick, just late night. We're about to hit the, what do they call them in the, hit the cabin in our spaceship? I don't know. We're just, yeah, I was trying to make it a Star Wars connection. We're going to bed. All right, we're going to go take some sleep here. We're going to meditate on the Fallen Jedi and really what it means and what's going down.
Who do you
gonna
think
have
is
to,
the Fallen Jedi?
It's Ahsoka. Actually, it's a lot of people. It's so many people, right? I mean, it's Sabine, last point here. Sabine basically kind of falls short of her Jedi trial there, right? Ahsoka, who was once a Jedi and is pretending to be a Jedi and calls Sabine her Padawan, whatever. She's a Jedi in my mind. She falls.
Yeah.
Straight up actually fell. And so, or is knocked off the ledge. Baylan is a fallen Jedi.
Right.
Right. Hu Yang is also a Jedi droid and he fell. To start the whole thing off, right? So there's that. Who else? I mean, I don't know. There's probably more.
Anakin.
He's the whole, the guy, the bad guy.
The
fallen Jedi, the chosen fallen Jedi. He's there at the end. So it's, wow, so many fallen Jedi. Crazy. Yeah. Anyway, all right, friends. Hey, don't forget, though, send us your thoughts. And thanks to Andrew and some of you guys, anybody.
Thank you.
Like Instagram, wherever, whether it be womprat_2m on my personal Instagram, hit me up there. We'll read them on the show or at Star Wars Hangout 77. Either one, check them both on Instagram or on the Gmail. Would love to get some comments, follow up. I'm going to have Hoth Hangout on later this week to discuss everything as well, too. So if you guys got some thoughts or questions for them, I would love to ask those guys what they're thinking, because it's pretty wild. But with that, we are going to bed to meditate on this. Let us know what you're thinking. Leave us a review. Helps the podcast. And as always, may the Force be with you.
Big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options in stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com. Save big.